Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. This is Shagun.
Good morning, Shagun.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Here we go, man. Stroh's lost last night, but hey, can't win them all, can you?
I'm ready for October.
Yeah. Yep, I want to see that, too. All right. Sponsors today, we have the Belleville Meat Market, Mainstream Marketing, and Texan Roofing. All right, weather, that's what everybody's watching. Boy, how hot was it yesterday? It's pretty warm. I am ready for fall. I mean, it's just late September, and we don't like those kind of temperatures anymore. We've had them all year. All right, looking at today for Galveston, sunny, high of 88. Winds will be northeast, 5 to 10. Still got some north in that wind. And right now down on the island, it's 81 degrees. Feels like 89 with the humidity. Tonight looks like clear to partly cloudy skies, low of 81. South winds 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, abundant sunshine, high of 88. South-southeast winds 5 to 10. Now, those are Galveston temperatures, but when you move inland a little bit, and they'll be in the upper 90s, without a doubt. A little cool in the morning, kind of nice, but as the day goes on, it heats up big time. Pretty strong. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're on four of them. We have a high coming up at 4:51 a.m. at the Galveston Channel. It's a 1.6, then a low at 9:55 a.m., a weak one, a 1.4, and then another weak tide behind that, a high at 2:15 p.m., a 1.6, and then our low tonight is 9:38 p.m., an 0.5. And tides are running good and bulled up due to the fall equinox. 7:08 a.m. is sunrise, 7:14 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase is 10%. And looking at current conditions right now, it's over at Eagle Point, it's 79 degrees with 87 degree water, actually 87.6. West wind at 3 to 5 miles per hour. Barometric pressure is 29.94 inches and steady. And at Morgan's Point, it's 81 degrees with 85 degree water with a southwest wind at 6. So not much wind, but it will warm up, starting out with that westerly factor again early this morning, just like yesterday. So if you liked yesterday, you'll love today. It's pretty much a duplicate of yesterday. All right, well, let's run down to the Tri-Bay area and check in with the Hammer this morning and see what Captain Glenn Hammond's doing. Glenn, good morning. What's going on over there?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. No wind, buddy. No yeah. Wind at all.
Good.
Little laid back this morning. Hopefully I've got some extra mosquito spray downstairs.
Still bad?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you know what it was yesterday? We were down at the shave ice stand all day doing some work, and it was flies, green flies, buddy. And
those,
I mean,
flies,
those
big old green nasty ones.
Well, no, these wasn't that big, but boy, they could do some damage on you. Do they burn, man?
Oh, biting flies. Yeah, those are nasty.
Yeah, they were. But yeah, we still got mosquitoes down here. It's especially when that wind's light. You know, they come up out of that marsh, buddy, and they're kind of hungry too. So every calm conditions, been very nice having that north wind in the morning before it switches over to the east. Mm. Been really, really nice. The only trip that I had was after I talked to you last Sunday morning. I had a buddy of mine brought his girlfriend down, and we put some hop-o-matics on the boat. Water condition was pretty dang nice. And, you know, everywhere we went, we caught fish. And with a little helpful advice, she hadn't really, she wasn't that experienced of a fisherman. So Hammer stepped in and said, let me show you how to do this and that, buddy. And
yeah.
And she was very appreciative, and she caught the first 19-inch trout, and they didn't get many more after that. They ended up with 5 trout, but she learned a lot. She even told me, she goes, you know, Captain, at the end of the day, she goes, I learned a whole bunch, and that makes you feel good when some of it soaks in. You know, some of it will soak in, some of it will never sure. soak in, but that's the way it goes. And hey, man, it wasn't really great in our area because there was an east wind blowing, and it kind of put you in a weird angle on the little tow heads and the stuff that I like to fish around. So, you know, of course, the southeast or south-southeast, something like that would be a lot better. But anyway, they ended up with 5 decent specks, and they caught small reds and drum, you know, and so the action was definitely there, and we were using those big old white shrimp again. That seems to be the bait down in this area. Now, the local boats did drag in. I heard the other day they came in with some real small shrimp that they got locally. But yeah. So it's either one extreme to the next. It's either really, really big or really, really small. So, let's see, on Wednesday, Melinda and I took one of our neighbors. He's from California. He's lived here for a while. He owns a house right here, a few houses away from us. And he's been wanting to go for a boat ride. So I obliged. I said, let's do it. We took off from Surfside. We went straight up the old Intercoastal Canal through Christmas Bay into Cold Pass. It's actually, you have to go through Churchill Bayou when yeah. you're going that route. And then Churchill, where the old Sides Bay camp is right there on Christmas uh-huh. Bay, or was years ago, went right past there, right into Churchill, into Cold Pass, took it around to San Luis and putted him out to the bridge. And he just says, man, I can't wipe this grin off my face. You know, he had always seen the water from the highway. He'd never been on a boat ride since he lived here. And so we left San Luis Pass, went back through Cold Pass, across Christmas, over into Bastrop. Then we hit the big Intercoastal Canal, the new Intercoastal. And that's what I would really like to dig back in the history and find out when they abandoned the old Intercoastal that ran through Christmas and Bastrop and all of that over into Chocolate, you know, and through Mudcut, you know, and all that. When they abandoned that and when they dug that new channel. That would be, so if anybody's listening and they know, you know, they've got more experience than me and or a little more knowledge, and that would be something to find out, because people are always saying, when did they abandon these channels? Well, the reason they did it is to take that barge traffic out of our pristine bays, and thank goodness they did. But anyway, so we come out of Cold Pass, and we cut across Christmas, went through Bastrop, hit the big Intercoastal, and then headed back to Surfside. Well, right before you get to Drum Bay, across the, to the right, to the north of the Intercoastal Canal, is a little place called Nick's Cut. It goes into Nick's Lake, and it goes into Salt Cut, and it goes into Salt Lake. And back in there is a wildlife refuge. You can see the check-in house way across the back. I got him back in there, and I shut that motor off, and you could have heard a pin drop. And he just, man, he goes, this is unbelievable. And I said, well, see, you see why I like my job? You know, every once in a while you can get out here. There wasn't another boat in sight. So anyway, we left out of there and brought him on home, man. And he ain't quit talking about it since. It's a lot of territory. I guess if you had to put a mileage gauge to it, it was somewhere around a round trip of 25, 30 miles. You know what I mean? But I bet you that old Honda didn't burn 2 gallons. So pretty good darn gas mileage. So anyway, yesterday, Melinda and I went down. We met these, we hired a company that built our palapa of about, I guess it's been about 5-6 years ago, whenever. Anyway, it was time to get a, you know, that thing's right up on the highway and it's all cedar and that stuff takes a sandblasting. You know, they had it all shellacked up real pretty and everything, but I'm fixing to have a cat bite. I'm gonna have to break up. Boo Boo Kitty's being so they come over. They sent a crew out there yesterday, and they grinded and sanded. And you talking about beautiful, getting that cedar back down to its natural color,
yeah.
And then re-shellacking it, putting some stuff on the barethane or whatever it was that they put on there. And man, we sit under that thing in the shade and just bullcorned with a couple of neighbors and a couple of friends stop by. Of course, whenever they see cars there, we have other people drop in. Hey, what's going on here? Y'all fixing to open up? But nah, we were just doing, we were told to do that about every 4 years. You're going to have to put a fresh coat on it. You know what I mean? To keep the, take care of that wood, man. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. We spent about, I think years ago, we spent about 20 grand to have that thing built. It's probably 25 by 25, you know, square. You know, so it covers a lot of area. When you have that much volume of shade, it's very nice, man, sitting under that thing right there on the highway. But so that's what we did yesterday. And, man, I'm hitting the door running this morning, going to be at the bait camp at 5 o'clock. And then I'm meeting a couple of ladies. They called me late yesterday afternoon and wanted to, oh, man, we just want to go fishing. So I'm going to oblige, and I'm going to take them out this morning. Tomorrow morning I have a trip, and tomorrow afternoon I have a trip. So if the hammer can hang in there, buddy, it's going to be a nice weekend. And then I got 2 days on Saturday, and I got a night trip on Sunday night, and I'm really looking forward to that because as the summer winds, sir, oh yeah,
it does.
You bet. I'll take it, man, because I've went through some slow days, and I get bored real easy, man. So I'd rather have something to do than nothing to do any day of the week. So I'm looking forward to it today, and that's what we're going to do. I looked around the area yesterday, and all the bait camps are holding shrimp and mullet and croakers and whatever you want to. If you're a live bait fisherman, get down here at a decent time, you know, or if not, get here in the afternoon, because about 2:30, 3 o'clock is when they reload, restock, or whatever.
Right.
On the bay camps, but
get them while they're hot,
yes sir. And that's what we're going to do again this morning. They want a lot of action. Now if you put croakers on the boat, you're going to be limited on what you catch. You put those hop-o-matics on the boat and you're going to get a little bit of everything. And with those weak tides, I'm going to fish down towards your pass today. I'll have a little more movement down there than you will in our part of the bay over here. And so that's what we're going to do, Captain Mickey. That's my plan, and I'm sticking to it, brother.
At least you got a plan. Some don't.
You get some kind of a plan. It's better than not having anything to do. So really looking forward to it. We're gonna knock this one out today.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing, throw them out.
Yes, sir. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. And also, if there's anyone out there that knows the history on the old intercoastal and the new intercoastal, when that was done, I would love to learn about it. I love the history of this area.
I wouldn't know. I know for as long as I've been fishing, that old intercoastal runs down the middle of West Bay. You know, we always caught fish drifting the shell and reefs on either side of it, you know, drifting back in the day. So I don't know. Maybe there's somebody
that knows
the scoop. All right, bud.
Maybe they'll call in. Thank you, Captain Mickey. Y'all have a great weekend, buddy.
See you.
Talk to you on Sunday. Yes, sir.
All right. That's the hammer. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market located in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealion I-10 or Hempstead off 290. They're real easy to find. Go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. And this week on special at the Belleville Meat Market, they have country-style pork ribs for $1.99 a pound. There's no limit, no purchase restriction. And their feature product this week is their dirty rice pecan smoked sausage. You can try it before you buy it. They have samples available all over the store. And check out their fresh ground chuck It's $2.99 a pound every day when you buy 10 pounds or more. Their hamburgers made fresh every day from locally sourced beef. You can actually taste the difference, you know, with hunting season going on. Stop by and stock up on steak, sausage, and all your cooking needs when you're heading back and forth to deer lease, filling up feeders. And the Belleville Meat Market is celebrating over 41 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. And a little warm, but it's better than it has been being, you know, right at daylight, that kind of deal. We got a longer night, so it cools now better, but it will get warm today. Something we've been dealing with all year. I don't know about your area, but, boy, all through me, I could use about 10 inches of rain right now. I mean, you go outside, it just smells like dead grass. It is hot and dry. But we've got tropical weather coming towards the Gulf for during next week, but that front's going to be in timely fashion. So if a storm will keep its movement on track, we'll be able to steer it away from the Texas coast, what I'm hoping. Hope we have perfect timing, kind of like a fish bite. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe and talk to the fish dude this morning, see how Richard's doing. Richard, what's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you this morning?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream, brother, you know?
Good deal, good deal, good deal. There ain't no doubt. That's the thing.
I woke up before the alarm went off this morning.
Man, you can't beat that deal with a stick. Yeah. Ain't no doubt. That's the thing. You can't beat that at all. Ain't no doubt about it. But I'll tell you what, I need to get my butt back out there on the water, but I ain't going to do it today. Got a little bit more rat killing to do, and then tomorrow I'll be out there.
Yeah, I had a text this morning. A guy texted me and said if you talk to Richard or somebody on the freshwater, he would like an explanation, you know, for y'all to explain on what y'all mean when you say if your lake turns over.
Oh, the lake turning over?
Yeah, he said he's heard us talk about it before, and he's not sure what it's all about. And I said, well, I'll ask a real pro that spends his entire life fishing freshwater.
There you go. The lake's turning over. What that pretty much means is every lake, you know, not necessarily a river type system, but the lake. I know that
like a reservoir itself without flow into it. Yeah.
Right. Now Trinity River and Lake Livingston will do it occasionally if the flow slows way down or stops.
Right.
But that, you know, it's not a thing where it does it like Conroe or certain lakes that don't have that flow. What happens is the algae will grow on the bottom of the lake, and it at certain points throughout the year, that algae will release from the bottom. And as it releases, it actually floats to the surface. And as it's coming up, it's in whatever that line that's it's in, there's zero oxygen in that water. So it takes all the oxygen out as it's coming up off the bottom. Mm. And it usually takes about a week or so for it to replenish the oxygen back in the water. And I don't know how it does it or why it does it, but like Lake Conroe, it'll do it occasionally. On some years, it'll do it 3 to 4 times a year. But most of the time, it's once or twice. And you'll see it because it'll be like a little green slime on top of the water. You'll see this little line of this slimy looking stuff. And when you pull your boat out of the water, you'll have that'll be a green line on your boat. So, and that's what it is. That algae is released from the bottom and it just floats to the surface. And on a depth finder, I've been on the water where you could actually see it coming up on your depth finder as it released. You know, it'd take a whole day. But you could see, you know, as the bottom, as it come up, you see that algae line coming up on the depth finder with your sensitivity cranked up way high. It's kind of neat to watch, but if you don't know what it is, it's like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, but I used to fish West Bay a lot, we'd get that, you know, like between February and March when all that algae in the back of those coves would break loose and you'd get all that old snot grass and everything else floating everywhere. It kind of turned over like that as those water temperatures, you know, picked up.
Right. That's one of the things that triggers it too, is in the, you know, especially spring to summer type thing where it's, and then summer to fall, you know, when those water temperatures go from hot to cool or cool to hot, that's whenever they'll release the most. You know, now randomly throughout the year, they'll do it again. But most of the time, it's right when those temperature changes happen. So, you know, and that's when it gets, you know, permeated throughout the water column, top to bottom. So, you know, like cold, cold or hot, hot, you know, 90 degrees or 40 degrees. So that's one of the things that happens there. And when that happens, what you have to do is follow where the oxygen level is. Wherever that oxygen level is in that water, that's where you're going to find your fish. Now, with that said, that oxygen level will change every hour.
What do they call that when you can see it on your machine, the thermocline?
Thermocline, yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's normally what you can see, but that algae looks just like a thermocline, too.
Right.
You know, but it's a moving thermocline. So it's kind of weird when it happens, but it's I've only seen it a few times myself, but when you see it, it's kind of neat. But you know, and then understanding what it is too—that's the other part of it. You know, a lot of times people don't understand what's happening, and as you start to see that little funky slimy line on the surface throughout the lake, you start to realize, because it starts like on the O'Connor, it'll start on the north end first and then work its way south. Right. You know, it goes from shallow to deep. You know, and then as it, you know, as it goes on, it'll finally get to the dam down there and just everything will be released down. Everything to the north end will be fine. So that's what happens on O'Connor a lot of times. Because I tell people there's fish biting O'Connor all the time. It's either on the north end or the south end. One of them is going to be on while the other one's off. And it's usually during those times where that algae releases like that, because you know, one end has a time to recover where the other end's suffering from it. So, but it's all good. I mean, that's the thing. You get, you know, over the years you figure all that stuff out, and that's the main thing when you figure out the conditions and the way to fish, and through those conditions you do pretty good. But that's all part of it. I mean, it's like fishing that tidal water too. You know, I mean, you don't go out there on extreme low tide fishing up as shallow as you can fish. You know, I mean, it just ain't happening. There ain't nothing there. You got to get out there where they're at. You know, when you got falling water, they move out. When you got incoming water, they move up. You know, that's, you learn all those little tricks like that. I mean, because that's falling water, you don't fish shallow. I mean, that's just not normal. They ain't got the fish ain't going to be there. They know they're going to get trapped. So they, you know, and that's one thing, you know, when I was a kid, I always wondered, because you get all these little pools of water, like around the coast, and in some freshwater lakes or whatever, you have these little potholes. And you think, man, that thing ought to be full of fish. And you'll see some, but you don't see as many as what you think. Because they know when that water's receding. Just like when these animals know when a cold front's coming or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they can feel it. They know it. And, I mean, it's funny how they can do that, you know. And I don't know how. But they've got their own built-in barometer.
Oh, they know 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead of when we do. You know, even big-time weather, you know, meteorology these days. Yeah, the animals, well, that's the way the old-timers knew a big storm was coming or whatever, a cold winter coming, by watching what the squirrels and rabbits and ants and crickets and everything else were doing. Or, you know, cut open a persimmon, and if it had a spoon inside of it, that meant it was going to be a cold one that winter.
Yep, there you go. There you go. I mean, that's those persimmon seeds. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
It's strange. Like years ago, there's old man McAdams up here. He had a deal. I forget which news channel it was, where he said he could predict the weather better than they could with by how his cows set up in the pasture. And I think he got pretty dang close if he didn't beat them over a month's period. He tracked more the weather better than they did over a month's time, just by how his cows laid down in the pasture.
Yeah, Blaine always used to say that, hey, man, the cows are up and feeding. We need to be fishing. The fish are biting.
Yes. You know, that's the thing. I always tell people that. If the cows are up, you need to be fishing. They're biting. If they're laying down, they're biting, but it's slow. You know, I mean,
right. That's
just the way it always is. Them cattle laying down, squirrels, deer, all that stuff. If you don't see them critters moving around out there, the fish are going to be slow most of the time. It's just strange how that happens, and it is so true. I mean, you can be out there, and if you're not catching anything, look around on the bank. If there's no birds flying, no squirrels.
Wildlife moving, birds, squirrels, anything.
Yeah.
It's just it's slow.
It's slow, and that's just, and then all of a sudden you start seeing squirrels, and everything just kind of comes alive, and then you start catching fish. I mean, it's crazy how that happens.
Fish and wildlife activity, they all coincide.
I guarantee you, absolutely. When you learn to read the signs, it's on. That's the thing, reading the signs, knowing when to do what, and that's what makes it fun. And, it's just, like I tell people out there bass fishing all the time, they got to fish the season. So many people fish the wrong season. You know, there ain't no lizards crawling around in December. They crawl around in the spring and in the fall and in the summer. They don't crawl around in the cold months. So, don't throw stuff like that. You know, topwater baits, frogs, things like that, buzz baits, fall, spring. Wintertime, maybe sometime, as long as that water temperature's up and the sun's out and shining. But for the most part, your cooler water, cooler temps, your topwater bite's going to die. But right now it should be prime time for topwater. I mean, that's what I'm ready for. I'm ready to get a good buzzbait bite going. I mean, dang it, I catch some good fish on a buzzbait, and I want to catch them. And I ain't had no buzzbait bite in a long time. So I'm going to get out there here before long and start hammering on that rascal and see if I can't get some of them to go to eating on it.
Yeah, buzzbait fishing's fun, man.
It is. I mean, you hear that clack, clack, clacking, and kaboom.
Yeah.
You can't get no better than that. I mean,
it's pretty fun. Pretty fun.
Man, I love it. I love it. I mean, years ago when they first come out with it, it was a Lunker Lure is what it was called.
Yeah, the Lunker Lure. That's it, man.
Yep. And years ago, a buddy of mine got one of them, and we was pond fishing. I mean, walking around dang old ponds, You threw that thing out there, and I said, there ain't no way you're going to catch something on that. And about that time, it went kaboom. I said, uh-oh. So I got to get one of them.
Bring it.
I guarantee you, boy, when you see that, because that was when it first came out, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
You know, way back in the day, we used to take and hold our rod up real high and reel those little H&H spinner baits. You know, remember the old H&H? We'd reel them up high because that's where the bass wanted them. They wanted them right on top. That was before we started fishing, you know, lunker lures and stuff.
Exactly. I mean, those H&Hs were the best ones. I mean, beetle spins, I used to love
spins. I can't tell you how many, you know, big crappie and nice bass I
caught
a beetle spin over the year. Well, even catfish will eat a beetle spin.
Anything, I guarantee you, it didn't matter. It would all eat it. There's one time I was in a pond that they had stocked this dang thing with so many of them bass that we run out of them little bodies to put on there, and they were still just eating the blade.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter. They need the dang blade.
That's
Chuck
right.
it out there and wind it. Catch the heck out of them. Oh, goodness.
Split-tailed beetle. The yellow one with a red dot on it was a good one.
That's
or black
green
dot.
With black
it was yellow
stripe.
With a black dot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the green with a black stripe on it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay.
Bumblebee look. Yeah. It's...
Yes, sir.
All right, Richard. Well, hey, man, I appreciate all your info this morning, and hey. Hang in there. Fall's coming. They say it is.
It is.
We're waiting on it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, if somebody wants to call you about coming to Conroe and hooking up with you, how they get a hold of you, Richard?
Well, anybody can get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, man. Well, you have a good day, Richard, and I'll talk to you tomorrow if you're up.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Take care. All right. That's the Fish Dude up on Lake Conroe. Well, I need to take a moment to tell all the listeners out there about one of the hottest soft plastic baits I've chunked in years, and that's the MiraLure Little John. And it also comes in the XL, the MiraLure Little John XL, a little bit bigger bait. It's a little more buoyant. It's really great in the shallow water. They use it a lot down south, but I'm pretty much sold on the Little John. What I like about it is a 3 3/4 inch soft plastic twitch bait. It throws like a bullet, and in the wind or downwind, it doesn't matter. Attach it to a jig head, whether you're wading or fishing out of the boat, the Little John is lethal on speckled trout, redfish, and flounder. And the Little John's injected with a secret fish-catching scent. It has a darting action. It makes it irresistible to game fish. And the Little John is so tough and durable, one bait can last for days. I've caught dozens of trout on one particular bait. The Little John comes in 14 popular fish-catching colors, and all it does is produce results day in and day out. That's the MiraLure Little John. You can look for them wherever tackle is sold. Remember, folks, nothing catches fish like MiraLure. Go to MiraLure.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, let's run down Matagorda way. Now let's check in with Captain Tommy Alexander and see what he's up to this morning. Tommy, what's up?
Morning, Mickey. Morning.
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm alive.
Yeah,
another day in paradise.
Sound a little tired this morning. Well, you've been burning that oil, huh?
Man, it's just, yeah, it's always something.
Struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
Oh, boy.
Nah, yeah. I've, it's been a long week. I've fished every day one way or another, either freshwater or saltwater, but.
Right.
So, yeah, pretty tired. Been
Did
going
fish
back
that
and forth.
Tuesday night bass tournament last night?
No, uh-uh.
Oh,
I didn't do it.
Finally no. Took a night off?
Yeah, because I fished saltwater yesterday, so.
Right.
Since I fish saltwater, if I fish saltwater, I don't got time to get hooked up and get to the lake and make it, you know, I don't got time to
right.
do it.
I got
so, yeah, I've got to be off that day so I can, or there's no way to do it. I just don't make it. I don't make it in time. So
I'm with you.
And I fished saltwater the last 2 days, I guess, yesterday and the day before I was in Matagorda.
Right. Well, how was that?
Trying to catch them trout and reds. Well, it wasn't bad. I mean, we did catch fish, you know. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
I guess it just wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. Is that a
right.
good word for it? We caught some,
but it wasn't bad. Just mediocre.
Right. That's right. We did catch some pretty nice sand trout and a couple big Gulf trout yesterday.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. I mean, pretty good ones. You know, 16. I had one about 16 inches maybe yesterday.
Fryers.
Pretty decent ones.
Fry
yeah,
the puppies
good
up.
Ones.
Fresh ones.
Yeah, good ones. And caught a few, you know, keeper trout, our keeper trout, slot trout, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind picked up at one point pretty – it was blowing north pretty dang hard at one point yesterday over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it picked up. It did here
yeah.
too.
And that's kind of when we quit catching them. Our first two drifts were pretty full of action. I mean, it was pretty solid. You know, somebody was getting a bite or catching a fish pretty much the whole first two drifts.
Right.
Then that wind picked up, and it started kind of barely white capping. And I don't know, something changed. You know, we just all of a sudden started struggling a little bit. I had to start moving around. And then we started, it seemed like what was keeper fish all of a sudden turned into, you know, like 14 inchers.
Yeah.
For some reason. So we went to moving around here and there and everywhere. And then that was yesterday. The day before, I don't even remember. I think that's the day we went red fishing. First, we tried red fishing and ended up catching a bunch of big gar. I don't know where they showed up from, but
boy,
I mean, big ones too, big fat suckers. The funny part is, yeah, the funny thing was, you know, usually you see them gar rolling on top of the water and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were catching them, but never saw one roll. There was no signs that they were in there until you caught one.
Right.
That was weird. You know, usually I see them rolling and I know, man, hey, there's some gar around here. I had a guy catch, you know, he sets the hook and said, there's a fish and it's stripping out drag. And I say, man, oh, that's a good red. And it was like a 5 foot gar.
Wrong.
You know? And so, yeah. So we dealt with that and I said, man, you got, must've had one just cruising or something. And then it wasn't a few minutes later and another guy said that same thing. I said, my goodness. And so then we moved spots. We were back in the back lake and we moved spots and same thing at the next spot. Boom. Another guy's stripping drag. And we're catching these 4 and 5 foot gar.
Ugh.
And never saw a sign of them, you know, never saw one roll, never knew they were in there. It was kind of weird, but.
That's kind of like redfish. When you see them, you can't hardly catch them. When you don't
yeah.
see them, when you do catch them. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was it.
Who knows?
So we had to leave that whole area altogether and went to another area and caught some, finally ended up catching some reds that day. We did catch pretty good ones, but it wasn't there. We had to move around to find them, you know.
Yeah.
Caught a pretty good, what do you call it, little snapper.
Oh, mangrove?
Yeah, mangrove, yeah. Caught a pretty good one of those. On a gulp, it ate a gulp. I
you
guess
have
everything
to fill
eats
a box
gulp.
Of those to go with your trout.
I know.
And fish.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, this was a pretty good one. I mean, for what we see around here, it was a pretty good
mm-hmm.
one. It wasn't big like what's his name catches down south. But
oh yeah, when Brian catches them big ones down there. Yeah.
It wasn't like that, but it was big enough
they'll
to flay.
Catch them on top waters down there too. That's yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I've never seen any of those in Trinity Bay over the years.
I've never seen anything that big like that around here. We got little ones, you know.
Right.
I've never caught one on top water. Usually it's gulp or plastic or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But either way, so it wasn't a bad week for sure. I mean, it's just a little tough, but I think we just need some weather change. It got really hot yesterday.
Boy, it did. I ran into town late yesterday evening to pick up something, and it was still 95 degrees at 6:15 in the evening.
Yeah, right.
I said, man, why did this come back?
Yep. No, it did. It came back. It felt just like it did, you know, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
It was tough, but I mean, it's not supposed to stay that way too long. Isn't there some kind of front?
No, we got a little old system coming in on Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah, a little front.
Yeah, because I looked at...
Change of wind and lower our evening temperatures, nighttime temperatures. It'll still get up, you know, 89, 90 during the day, but it'll be kind of like that Indian summer pattern, you know?
Yeah. Because I got a bass tournament on that next Saturday, not tomorrow, but next Saturday.
The following Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, October 1st, I guess it is. And on Lake Somerville, and I looked up on the future cast on the weather and for that Saturday morning on Somerville, and it said 58 degrees.
So I believe like, it. Wow. They're showing in the 60s here. So, it's about right.
Yeah, so that'll I knew hunt. Something happening. Yeah, that'll work. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, I like where you put your Sims jacket on in the mornings for your boat ride. And
yeah.
Then about 10
I like
o'clock,
a little bit
everything
chilly.
Comes off. And yeah, I like that.
I do too. Not freezing. I'm not a cold. I don't like freezing either.
No, I don't like when you have to mummy up, man. I just hate fishing in that. Can't feel your hands. That gets old.
Nah, if it would stay like 60 degrees all the time, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, if we could get perfect weather all the time, we really wouldn't have any fish left.
Yeah, everybody would just smoke them.
Everybody'd be
all
fishing
time
and catching them and fish snapping. It'd be over with.
It'd be done. Bass fishing might make it because everybody throws them back. But
right.
Yeah, saltwater would be out of the question.
Yeah, that would pretty much kill the resource.
But I do think, you know, there's definitely fish out there. We just need to get a consistent weather pattern.
Well, I'm holding you and Charlie to that. Won't y'all, all these fish show up by the millions from everywhere this fall when the weather gets right.
Yeah,
I'm coming.
I'm not going to promise it, but I have a hunch.
Either.
I got a feeling. I don't know. And our back lakes got pretty fresh too. One or two of our back, I don't know where the fresh water came from, but I know yesterday when I was back there, when I was catching those gar, I noticed too, I mean, it was a couple of our back lakes were pretty fresh yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Tea colored and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure where it came from because we hadn't had really any rain recently.
No, we could darn sure use some. It's powder dry around my area.
Yeah, it's gotten dry again. It was all, you know, it was pretty wet, sloppy there for a little bit, but now it's done, hauled off and got dry again.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
Shoot, man.
We'll keep hitting on them. See what happens this weekend.
That's all you can do. So you running them out the rest of the week, huh?
Yes, I'm fishing. Well, yeah, the next 4 or 5 days because I have trips today, tomorrow, and Sunday and Monday, and then we got the Guides Cup is on Tuesday. So our Guides Cup over here is Tuesday. So yeah, the next 4 or 5 days I'm fishing.
What do y'all have? Like two of those a year over there?
Two, we do exactly. We got there's one chapter called the Matagorda chapter. and they have one, and then the Bay City chapter has one, which is called the Lower Colorado chapter.
Right.
So they both have one. And they're like the one is next Tuesday, and then the next one is like just a couple weeks away. It's in October.
Yeah.
They're usually maybe 3 weeks apart from each other.
Right.
Yeah. And they're doing all that weigh scale and everything this year, kind of like the Legends did, where you weigh them and throw them back and video them and all that. That's how they're going to do them. Yeah. We'll see how that works. Yeah. As long as the scales worked, it worked pretty good in the Legends. Just sometimes the scales would kind of malfunction a little bit.
Oh, where you just do the live,
live
photo release thing,
right? Yeah, that's how they're doing it.
Huh?
Yeah. So we'll see.
I wish they'd catch on with a lot of these tournaments. That'd sure help. That'd save a lot of fish, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, for sure. It changes the whole ball game. I mean, you don't even have to. It definitely changes the way you fish. You definitely can't do things the same. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You've kind of got to wade with each other. You can't spread out anymore, which that's the tough part. You can't spread out. You've got to be next to somebody with a scale because when you do those videos, one person can't do the video by themselves. It takes two people to do it. Well, so you can't possess the fish. So if we catch a 27-inch trout, it's against the law to possess it, you know, with our rule. So you cannot put it on a stringer or a bag or anything. So you have to do that video right away. So somebody's got to be close to you. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Or you'll be dragging that fish all around and walking through everybody else's fish. And, you know,
works out, you don't get, you know, if you do catch a big fish, you don't get penalized because you can't keep the fish, you know, because of the limit and size restrictions. Now, catch, photo, and release. On a scale, and you know, then you get credit for that big fish that you returned back anyway.
That's right. That's the bonus of it.
Right.
You just gotta have. You can't wade out by yourself. You know what I mean? Everybody's got to be next to somebody. If you got four people on your team, you got to have two and two.
Right.
That's right.
Buddy to take your photo. You know.
Uh huh. So you can't get too far. You know, you better be pretty close to somebody.
Exactly.
Right. But it's definitely a good deal. Fish get released right there, you know.
I'm with you.
Get put back right where you caught them, too. They don't get carried to a different bay system.
And I don't know how much those scales are. I mean.
I don't either.
You know, for a tournament to buy them and furnish them to the contestants.
Yeah. Two per team. Every team gets two scales.
Right. Well, it makes sense.
I don't know what they cost, but I'm sure they're not real cheap.
No, they're.
I would imagine at least $50 a piece, probably.
Yeah, they should be at least 50, 75 bucks. I don't know.
Yeah. And each team gets two.
The next time I talk to him.
Yeah. He had a bunch of them.
Well.
I don't know.
You know, I'm just, man, summer months when the water's hot, I know you can, these fish can do pretty good in a live well and make it to the weigh-in and all that, but, you know, I'm still skeptical about, you know, even watching these bass tournaments when they, you know, they have those fish in their live well all day. They come in and then they have the photo ops with them up on stage holding these fish up, and they've been handled so many times. Even though the water temperature is cool and, you know, they got oxygen on these fish and everything else, I'm just kind of skeptical about whether those fish are really going to have a good chance to make it or not.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, there's definitely some definitely don't make it, I don't think. But I know trout don't. You can't do that with a trout. But
no.
Bass are tough. Bass are really tough.
Yeah.
But they're more like the redfish deal, you know.
Yeah, even a redfish is even tougher than a bass. I mean, redfish.
Yeah, redfish are real tough. And trout, you can't even. you can't even hardly keep a trout alive in the live well, much less make it to weigh in and take a bunch of pictures.
Right.
Unless maybe during the wintertime, that's your only hope. But still, you know how trout is. You just can't do it.
No.
You just can't do it. You can do it with the redfish and the bass a little bit, but you just can't do it with trout.
I've caught some trout and didn't even really hook them deep, but they just fought so hard to the end, and then you turn them loose, and they, man, you got to really work with them trying to get them going where they can swim off.
It's almost like they kill themselves.
Yeah.
You know, fighting in. Yeah, fight to the death. Yeah, it's hard to keep a trout alive. It very, is. Very tough.
But it looks good at weigh-ins.
Yeah.
They see the wiggle go, oh, yeah, they're doing their part.
Yeah, it wiggled.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yep. And then you see them in the harbor floating around later the next day.
Yeah, we saw that in a redfish cup tournament down at Bayou Signet down in Louisiana. It was so hot. And you had to come in. You know, we all had to launch at Bayou Signet and then head out and go fish, you know, all our Louisiana areas. But once you came in and you put the boat on a trailer, then you had to pull through a check station before you left that park, pull the fish out, let them measure them and inspect them, make sure they're legal, then put them back in your live well, then pull all the way into town to that academy, and then weigh them in on stage there. And then they put them in their tanks, and then they took them back to Bayou Signet to release them every evening. Man, that next morning we pulled out of there, Blaine and I were coming out of there, and there's dead redfish lining up both sides of the bayou going out. I go, I didn't think these fish would make it. And they didn't
make it.
What a waste.
Big waste.
It was.
Yeah, could have had a lot of redfish on a half shell.
Yeah, that nobody could eat.
Nobody could eat.
Nope, they all went bad.
Yeah, that's terrible. I hate wasted fish. That's just a whole different deal.
I'm with you, man. All right, Tommy. Well, look, I got to run, bud. If somebody wants to call you about freshwater or saltwater, give them a number, man.
Yes, sir. They can look me up on Facebook under Tommy Alexander. Just give me a call or text or leave a message on my phone at 979-709-8242.
I know you're running a Haney in the saltwater. What kind of bass boat are you running?
I'm running a Skeeter.
Skeeter? All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
I got a Skeeter and a Haney.
There you go. All right, dog.
Yes, sir.
Well, Tommy, you have a good day. Good talking to you, and be safe, man. Catch them up.
Okay. Later, Mickey.
Later. All right. That's Captain Tommy Alexander. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.